Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
It is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. And this is another edition of Baseball Today. That is my man, Trevor Plouffe. I am Chris Rose, producer Dan, along for the ride as well. And it is my oldest brother's birthday. So, Bob Rose, love you, buddy. Hope you're doing all right. So, I little stumbled through April 24th, 2024, because that doesn't happen. 2024, it's cool.
It's my day. 24. Anything that's 24 related is my day. It's not Ken Griffey Jr.
Nope.
Or Miguel Cabrera. Or
nope.
Kobe.
Nope.
It's me.
It's you.
Or Josh Donaldson on the Twins.
And every day is seemingly Mike Trout Day. We give him a tip of the cap. He was hitting leadoff last night for the first time in 4 years. And what does he do? He hits his sixth career leadoff homer. His first one in a dozen years. Dude. Every time he does something good, I'm just going to say you nailed it, because you said he was going to be the AL MVP. I don't know if they'll be good enough for him to get that award, but God, it's so good to see him back.
Is that are we showing video of the last time he did that? Like, he looks like a
off my buddy
smaller Dempster. Mike Trout right there.
Well, it was a dozen years ago. Of course he's
no, that's crazy. And that's Dempster on the mound. Oh my goodness.
Texas Rangers, by the way. Don't sleep on
I think right now, Juan Soto's probably got most of the votes for AL MVP, but Trout is doing everything he can to stay in the discussion. Grayson Rodriguez, 1-2 fastballs can't go there to Mike Trout. I'm just going to say that right now. He actually got roughed up last night, but I think everyone in the sport loves when Mike Trout is going off. Like, it just looks so good. He's like, he's ours. Mm-hmm. He's the sports. I'm sorry, Angels fans. He's the sports.
Is it? I've never heard somebody say, God, I don't like Mike Trout. Anybody?
No. Nobody said that.
Nobody has ever said that.
Except for that one guy who critiqued his swing on Twitter. Do you remember that? The guy's like, oh, actually, he's getting his head tilt this way, and it's a little too it's like this Mike Trout. He's the only guy.
Yeah, come on. I love. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to bookmark that one and just keep going over that. Nope. Let's start with Trouty's old tag team partner out there in Anaheim, now swinging it for the Los Angeles Dodgers, playing, I believe, his first game in our nation's capital. Not his first game there.
First series.
He did this for the first time there.
Ohtani with an absolute rocket. Forget about it. First game in Nats Park. First home run in Nats Park. 4-1 Dodgers.
Thank you, Steven Nelson. Yes, it was his first game in Nats Park and his first home run there. 450 feet. Once again, that's one of those where they just stop counting. It just either goes too fast or too far, and they're like, ah, screw it. Let's just put 450 on that number. But he did hit it almost 119 miles per hour. That is the hardest hit home run in the show this year. Oh, that's so good. He's so good.
He is so good. He's so good. Steven Nelson, that's MLB Network Steven Nelson. He's doing the calls for the Nationals now, huh?
No.
Or is that the Dodgers?
Yeah, he does the Dodger. He fills in for Joe Davis. He probably does between 40 and 50 games, does a really, really good job. Steven's a good guy.
I like him. Shout out Steven Nelson. That's why I said it.
He does a good job. He's the guy that first replaced me on Intentional Talk. Never had any ill will with Steven or anything. Like, good dude, and does a really, really nice job on the air. The question we've got about Shohei today, is it possible that a year off from pitching will make him a better all-around player moving forward and actually benefit his career?
I had a lot of trouble with this question because how can the best all-around player of all time be better at being an all-around player? I think you're saying, like, offensively, will this benefit him more?
So
in the long run,
what I'm asking you is this. He doesn't have to worry about pitching this year. I mean, yes, he's doing work to get back to being a pitcher. He's not worrying about game plans. He's not worrying about making sure that when he's throwing 98 that he's hitting this part. He doesn't have to worry about any of that stuff. He is basically solely focused on becoming a better hitter this year. And although he made tremendous strides last season where he was a 300 hitter for the first time, where he had an on base of over 400, and now he is solely focused on that part of the game. When he then becomes pitcher slash DH moving forward in 2025, he thus becomes an even better version of what we have seen as a two-time MVP.
I'm not really sure. I don't think he can get any better offensively than what he's been over the last 2 years. I mean, you just mentioned some of the numbers. Last year, led all of baseball in OPS with a 1.066. Yes, this year, those numbers have crept up a little bit. So maybe this will be his best offensive year, and maybe it'll carry over. But the things this guy's he's already done has been crazy. I mean, this year, right now, he's leading the league in batting average, slugging, OPS plus, total bases, OPS. Like, I think this guy, Chris, is just that good. I don't know if it's going to benefit him going forward. I think he's just already peak baseball, bro. There's just nobody like him in the sport. He transcends sports fans. Like, you know how you always talk about the NFL Network? You get questions about certain guys or certain topics that we have. I got about 4 or 5 text messages last night from guys who don't really follow baseball that much saying, did you see the Shohei Homer? Holy shit. Mm-hmm. Like, he's one of those guys. So I still don't really know how to answer your question. I think that it might make him a better hitter, that he gets to just – maybe he'll discover something in his – routine this year that'll help him out. Maybe he'll discover something in like his video preparation that'll help him out. But I don't think he does that much. From what I've heard, I think I saw an interview with Mookie and Freddie. I don't even think this guy sees overhand batting practice before games. I think everything is flips and tees. I don't think he's a big video watcher. So maybe he picks something like that up this year and brings his offensive game to the next level, but I don't know if there is another level to get to. I think that's my answer.
Well, you know, we heard for years in Anaheim that he just didn't take batting practice on the field, and so the first time he'd see anything live was when he's stepping into the batter's box on a given night. Does that seem possible as a guy who did this as long as you did? Like, you can go just take flips and see some stuff in the cage and be good to go?
I saw Joe Mauer do it.
Okay.
He's another prime example of it. So maybe everyone needs to stop hitting batting practice.
Don't do that.
And a lot of teams are already getting away from it. But Joe Mauer is probably the most consistent hitter I've ever seen play the game. And he didn't really ever take overhand BP. But then on the contrary, like I saw Miguel Cabrera when he won the Triple Crown, he's out there every single day. He loved to hit BP. So I don't know, man.
Did you like BP?
To a certain extent. I wish when I played, it was more like commonplace to take some days off. There were days where like I just didn't want to hit BP.
Right.
But if I went into the manager's office and it was like, hey, I don't really feel like hitting BP today, he'd ask me, why? Are you tired? Do you want a day off?
Mm.
And maybe that's just because they're trying to find a reason to bench me. I don't know.
By the way, if my math is right, and Shohei has 11 doubles so far in 25 games to lead Major League Baseball, if my math is right, he is on pace to set the single season doubles record. I might be off.
What is it? Does Freddie Freeman own it? Like, I feel like he always hits doubles.
No, he almost got to 60 last year, but I think the number 67.
Okay.
I want to say doubles in a single season. I didn't look it up, but I did. I just caught that number, caught my eye. So something else we can keep our eye on with Shohei. And by the way, to answer the question, it wouldn't surprise me if, just solely focusing on baseball allows, you know, Dave Roberts came out the other day and said, we want him to be more selective. Just don't get up there and hack. I mean, there's that fine line, I imagine.
We're nitpicking now, Dave. We're nitpicking right now.
I'm with you. But if there, you know, if he's looking to improve, I don't know how he improves, man. He's
improving this year. Walk to strikeout ratio. He's got 13 walks, 20 strikeouts, you know, some previous years for him. I mean, when he first came into the league, 33 walks to 110 strikeouts. That was in 2019. He's gotten better as he's gotten older, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, if we see plate discipline God Shohei, look out. I don't know.
Okay. I do think that he's going to come out this better. I think we're going to see a 2025 version of him as a pitcher and hitter, even better than the 2 times he's won the MVP. And I can't wait. I cannot wait. The reason I am wearing the Seattle Mariners hat, I believe they're in first place. They took a game from the defending World Series champion Texas Rangers. Julio, welcome. Hit his first big fly of the season. First of all, remember last year, he was just so-so in the first half. In fact, I didn't even think he should have been an all-star, with the exception that the game was in Seattle. So I understood that point. He got late at. But then in the second half, he took off and was just one of the stars of the game like we expect. Do you feel like this is going to be kind of the stepping stone for him now? Like, he could step on the accelerator and have a month of May where he just takes
off. Yeah, I believe he's also has a six-game hitting streak right now against the Rockies. He had a big series, so it's already started. You know, the homer is nice to get. He's also been playing like really good defense in center field, which is nice to see from him. So he's been contributing in other ways. Do I think that this homer is going to get him going? Like, yeah, he's let the body get used to playing, you know, night games again, you know, more travel, like things like that do matter to some guys. You'll just see it from time to time. You'll know a guy in April is going to just try to tread water. And then as soon as it warms up a little bit, as soon as you get your routine under your belt, they're going to take off. So I think that might be the case for Julio this year.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, thank you, chat. Earl Webb, 67 doubles in 1931.
That's a lot of freaking doubles, man.
Yeah. Spinning Mantis, Lil Bucks, too. Thank you very much for helping us out there. We always appreciate the chat chiming in. Yeah, Julio had over a 900 OPS in the second half, just crushed it down the stretch, kept them in contention, hit some major homers. I think he's going to take off. But now the question is, which other big name out there who hasn't done much to this point do you feel like might follow in Julio's cleats and also just go, go, go?
I don't know if everyone considers this guy a star, but I believe he has star potential. And I'm going to go with Christopher Morel in Chicago. By the way, I just noticed this right now. Baseball Savant has him 5'11", 145. That can't be right.
No,
145 pounds. That's a typo. Okay, unless he's like a boxer. Those boxers, how do they get to weight like that? I don't understand. Okay, here's my reasoning. Yeah, I don't know. You're right. Here's my reasoning. It's already kind of started for Morel. Right now, he's sitting with a 634 OPS, career 767 guy. Over the last week, he started to walk more. 7 walks to 6 strikeouts. That's usually what I look at to see if a guy is about to get it going. The rest of the season before that, he was at 3 walks, 12 strikeouts. And then over his career, Chris, he's one of those guys. It's just not an April starter. 634 career OPS in April. Do you know what it is in May? 979.
Nice.
So nice. This guy, it just seems like he's going. If you look at his Baseball Savant page, you know, the underlying numbers, the numbers under the hood, if you will suggest that he should be doing a little bit better than he is. So with the walks, with the history of it, I think Morel is in for, you know, a massive late April, and then obviously into May, I think this guy's about to go off. That's going to help the Cubbies team a lot.
Okay. Everything we have has him listed at 145 pounds. That's it's impossible.
He's a big boy.
He's 5'11".
This is like the Chris Sanchez thing. What's going on here?
Can somebody find this out? Can we get Christopher Morel on the phone right now?
That's impossible. Yoked up, too. This guy is not like a skinny 5'11".
That would make him a freshman in high school.
I don't know, man. We're getting some. I don't know.
That's stupid. All right, my guy is definitely a star.
Okay.
Corey Seager. Please show up for your appointment as the number 2 hitter. Let's see here. 1 home run and 3 total extra base hits. 1 home run. 3 extra base hits. I know that he was out for a while in spring training, so maybe he's still knocking off some of the rust. Now, keep in mind what happened last year. He played only 11 games in March and April, hit only 1 home run as well. Then he came back midway through May, hit 4 homers, and then he took off in June, July, and August. Each of those months had a one dotter. So fear not. He will be fine, and very slowly they will start adding back some starting pitching, right? Max Scherzer, I believe, is on a rehab start tonight. We might even talk about him on Thursday's show. So it's all going to start to come together for the champs. Nobody in that division has gotten off to a great start. In fact, it's the reason that the Astros are totally buried and gone somehow with the, you know, their worst start since 2016. So, Corey Seager, we'll see you. Don't worry, champ.
I think that's an easy one because you know his numbers are going to be there at the end of the season. So a cold April really means nothing to him. He's a guy that you say, don't look at his stats until the end of the year, people.
Yeah. Another guy could have been your dude, Byron Buxton, who got his first homer of the year last night to tie it up. By the way, everybody, I imagine you were watching the Twins game because you're going to be calling. Everybody was getting on Pedro Grifol for his decision-making late last night. Was it really that bad? I was just kind of watching it with the rest of the games.
There were some guys that he could have pitched around, certain situations he could have pitched around and just didn't do that, certain changes he could have made. He brought Kopech in the eighth inning, I believe, had him warming up in the seventh. You know, that's kind of when there was some trouble, and then the top of the lineup was coming up, and I don't know if that gets Kopech out of whack or what, but I'm assuming that's what they're talking about. But the Twins did a good job. They got some hits with runners in scoring position. Yeah. Like, the White Sox have been the medicine for a lot of different teams. And I mean, a walk-off comeback win. If they lose that game last night, the Twins fans are just down in the dumps. And that walk-off really got everyone excited.
Dude, I can't watch. I felt terribly for the White Sox last night. Like, there was that ball that Benintendi couldn't get to, that little fly ball. Like,
yeah.
What is going – everything is going wrong for that franchise. All right. We talked about the White Sox enough yesterday. I can't take it. I haven't eaten yet. I don't want to spoil my appetite for the rest of the day. All right, we got more show coming your way, but first, Trevor Plouffe for the word.
Let me get it up real quick. Okay, this show is brought to you by DraftKings. Listen, people, if you're not watching the NBA playoffs, you got to. My Lakers, Jamal Murray, what are you doing? That was nasty. The 82 game quote-unquote preseason is in the books, and it's time for the real season. We're talking NBA playoffs here. So much fun. I love when the NBA gets in the playoffs. I really do believe that preseason, in quotations, is true. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code BASEBALL today. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code BASEBALL today. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Go sprinkle a little bit of money on those Nuggets. I'll say that. They look pretty good.
And I'll mention that the Cavs are up 2-0 in their best of seven series against the Magic. We continue on. Two more great pitching performances. Our guy, Logan Webb, now a new co-host of the Chris Rose rotation. I keep texting him. Ever since we had our conversation, you have been unhittable. You're welcome. He did it again last night. 8 shutout innings. I think he's had 19 consecutive scoreless innings or something ridiculous like that as the Giants took care of business at home against the Mets. But he was one up by one Max Fried, who threw his third career Maddux, a 3-hit shutout where he faced only 29 hitters. Braves blanked the Marlins for the second consecutive night. First of all, before we get to our question, this is the Max Fried because he has been all over the place. It started on opening, you know, his opener. It wasn't opening day, but it was his opener where he didn't even get out of the first inning. This is what we expected when I selected him as the NL Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah, he had a couple rough starts there, but this is exactly what you'd expect. I didn't know he's had 3 of these already, Maddux is I'm talking about, but he was cruise control all last night. I believe he only gave up 2 base runners the entire game, had everything working for him, and he's another one of those guys. He's like Corey Seager to me. Like, don't look at his numbers until the end of the season. They're going to be fine.
Yep. Okay. So our big question about this is, give me the one other player in his walk year, just like Max Fried, who you're closely watching all season long.
So I had a couple that I was thinking about. First one was Alex Bregman. I'm very intrigued as to, you know, what's Houston going to do. It seems to me like they're going to let him walk and go somewhere else. So him playing in a different uniform is going to be interesting to see. You know, he's one of the faces of that 2017 team. It's going to be weird to see him in another uniform. I'll say that. But that's not the guy I chose. The guy that I chose is Willie Adames. If you look at the shortstop free agent market next year, that's it. So it's Willie Adames is the head of that class. And then you start looking around the league, though, And there's not a lot of places that have a shortstop opening or that are going to be willing to pay a shortstop to come to. Really, I found like two teams, and they're West Coast teams, the Giants and the Dodgers. Like I love the Mookie Betts experience, I'll say, at shortstop, but I don't think they need to have him there. I don't think that's his best position. I think Willy Adames fits perfectly in that lineup, but also the Giants. I think the Giants could use him there as well. And really looking around, I don't know where else he'll go. Tampa Bay is not going to bring him back, and they have some young guys they like there. They just brought in a few Caballero as well. All around the league, they have a shortstop, or they're not in the competitive window. So for a guy like Willy, I'm curious to see where he goes. I don't think he's staying in Milwaukee either, so Dodgers or Giants?
Yeah, it's good. My guy is the polar bear, Pete Alonso. Yeah. I think he is fascinating, right? Since he came into the show in 2019, nobody has more home runs, and he's got it by quite a distance. He's hit 199. I think next closest is like Matt Olson, who hit 180 or something like that. He doesn't turn 30 until the offseason. So you still have plenty of power years left. But that's what he brings. He really brings two things. An immense amount of power, and he's a good dude, right? The thing is that the Mets are waiting, in my opinion, to check on the availability of Juan Soto. And so because you can't pay everybody, that's the guy, even Pete Alonso, you got to let walk. Now the question is, who's going to pay? Well, who is the last big-name first baseman that changed teams via free agency and received a mega, mega deal? There have been guys who've gotten nice extensions, right? Matt Olson got $168 million right after he got traded. I still think he had 2 years left. Freddie Freeman got $162. That's a nice number. I think Pete Alonso wants in the twos. I don't think there's any way he's going to get that number. I think that this is going to be one of the – I don't think it's going to end up being him signing a short-term deal like we saw with Chapman and Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery. But man, oh man, I think what he wants and what he thinks he can get and what he actually is going to get might be two totally different numbers.
Yeah. I think like you look at the New York teams and I think both of them would be in on him, except I think they are both waiting for Juan Soto. We came to the realization today on Talking Baseball that I think Rizzo has a team option for next year. I think could be a free agent.
Okay.
Okay, there you go, Dan. We came to the realization that Paul Goldschmidt is going to be a Yankee, so that's great for them. I believe Pete Alonso is like the fourth or fifth fastest player in baseball history will be the fourth or fifth fastest player in baseball history to 200 homers. Like this guy has real, real game-changing, season-changing power. I want a bunch of teams to be in on him, but I believe teams view first base differently now than they used to. So I agree with you, Chris, that the deals that he's looking for might not be out there initially, but if we do see Juan Soto sign somewhere, maybe that speeds things up for him.
Yeah. Maybe he is the consolation prize there, but it's definitely something to watch. All right. Something we watched last night unfold in Kansas City. Blue Jay fans do not want to watch this clip. Toronto's up 2-0 in the fifth, two outs, and there's a ground ball. And IKF makes a nice play, cutting it off. Good throw. And everybody thought it went right through the webbing of Vlad's mitt because he couldn't have misplayed it this badly. It ended up just being a missed catch, kept the inning alive. Bobby Witt Jr. actually gave the Royals the lead, and they end up winning this game. Now, Vlad has not lit it up at the dish. He's now making egregious errors in the field. How shocked are you that we have seen him go from a peak in 2021 where he was runner-up for MVP to what we're seeing today?
So I have a take here. I have a take. I think we're seeing what Vlad Guerrero Jr. really is. I think this is the type of ball player that he is. I'm not talking about the egregious errors or something like that. I'm just talking about he's settling in his numbers. I believe when we look back on it, we might say that 2021 was an anomaly for him. You know, wow. He just got hot and was that guy. Chris, look at the rest of his years. They've all been pretty similar. 772 OPS in 19, 791 in 2020, 818 in 2022, 788 in 2023. His one anomaly year in WAR is 2021. Like the rest of the times, like he's one time been over 3 WAR. Like I think this is the type of player that he just is. Like he's a good, solid major league player. I don't think he is an MVP type player. Like I just don't. And I think that's okay. Like I'm not like trying to dog on him. Like he had an incredible year in 2021. The rest of the time he's been a solid major league regular. So I think people need to readjust their expectations for Vlad because he's kind of showing us this is who I am.
So let me ask you this. I did this with on Football Today with Bobby and Penick. And I asked if one of the big wide receiver prospects is Marvin Harrison Jr., outstanding receiver out of Ohio State, whose dad is a Hall of Fame receiver with the Indianapolis Colts. I said, if his name was Joe Smith, would we devalue him a little bit? And Bobby's like, no, he's that much better. But is the possibility, because Vlad's dad is in Cooperstown, that we have higher expectations and we just say, oh, okay, well, he'll shake out of it at some point?
I'm sure there's a little bit of that. But also, look, the guy tore it up in the minor leagues. He was 22 years old when he had that one dot season and was second in the MVP. So, you know, he gave people a lot of reason to believe. Like when we talk about young guys putting up those types of seasons, we're like, okay, like that is, he's going to springboard off that. He's going to be that guy. We're 2 years removed from that. And it's just kind of, he's fallen back. He's regressed to the mean, if you will. And the mean is a good player. It's not a superstar level cover of MLB The Show type player, but it's a very solid player. And I think maybe that's where he lands. In saying that too, Chris, he's 25 years old. Like we talk about peaks for players being like, well, it's adjusted recently, like 25 to 28. Like there could be another season like that in there. But in my mind, I'm starting to believe that, you know, defensively, it's never been great. I know he won the Gold Glove in 2022, but the numbers don't really say that. I think we're just seeing who he is. I think he could end up, you know, averaging out at like a 3-win player. And that's a pretty dang good player.
Well, particularly at first base where you get nothing accredited to your defense. So I have to give him another year still, another full year. And by the way, the top three in that whole order, none of them have done anything. Springer, Vlad, or Bichette, they've all struggled. They're all under 700 OPS. And the Blue Jays are playing okay. But then they have moments like last night. But I know that the Toronto fan social media group went nuts. All right, finally, we're going to make a stop in the National League Central where Ellie De La Cruz continues to mash. Hit his 7th homer, also stole his 12th base. Reds snapped the Phillies' 7-game winning streak. And then before the Cardinals game on Wednesday, Jordan Walker, another young 20-something in that division, got sent down. So which one of those is the bigger story in that division?
Well, I mean, the Cardinals need to find something offensively there. We thought maybe that Goldschmidt homer would be a springboard to their offense going, and they got absolutely crushed by the Diamondbacks last night. So that wasn't it. I'll go with Ellie. I think we talked about this preseason. You said, you know, two big alien looking shortstops, O'Neill Cruz or Ellie, who's going to have the better year. I think maybe O'Neill this year will have the better year, but overall in his career, I think Ellie will be the better player. Ellie didn't want to hear any of that, bro. He is off to an absolutely crazy start. 12 stolen bases already, mind you, to 7 home runs. Like it's just, he's doing everything well on the field right now. And it's really, really refreshing to see him play baseball because you get the flash and you get all that, but it's also the hustle is there. And I love that, like the power speed combination to me, especially coming out of the shortstop position, it just like, that's what gets me going more than anything in baseball. I just, I just know how difficult it is to do both, to be able to run the bases like that and to be able to hit home runs like that. It just doesn't come around that often. So when you see it, you know it's special. And that's what we've seen from him. I don't think he's a one dotter throughout the year, Chris. I just, that's reserved for a very few humans on this planet. But he looks like he's going to be a star for many, many years to come.
Yeah, and the thing I love is that he's, even in the short time since we started talking about him at the beginning of the year, remember, he struck out at least once in each of his first nine games and had multiple strikeouts in six of those nine. Since then, I believe in the next 14, he's only struck out in six of those 14 games, so you've seen improvement, and only double-digit strikeout games in four of the 14. So knowledge of the strike zone, not chasing as much, things of that nature, all show maturity and improvement even within a month of a regular season. We just have to remember how young he is too. He's
22, dude. He's
22, right. Jordan Walker, we saw him get sent down last year. This doesn't surprise me. The Cardinals are doing whatever they can to shake things up. He needs to get regular at bats. He's had only one hit in the last 10 days. Hopefully we see him back up here because he is a big, strong kid. Seems like a really, really nice, good dude. I want to see him be successful at this level. Hopefully he figures it out over a month. We'll see him back up here in late May or June, and he'll go about his business and continue on. So there you go. A lot of day baseball today. That's always fun. We will be back at it again Thursday. We're going to go a little bit earlier because I've got some NFL draft duties I got to take care of. So we're going to try and go live at 10:30 a.m. Eastern, 7:30 a.m. Pacific, as long as that's okay with you, Mr. Plouffe. I guess that means yes.
Great. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. The double thumb up. I love that. So for our one-of-a-kind producer, Dan Rourke, and the uber-talented Trevor Plouffe, I am Chris Rose. We will see you Thursday on Baseball Today.
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours.